to tell you, I came in here, and I just want to give a testimony real fast. Well, you know, as fast as I can. I am not complaining when I tell you this. I am blessed beyond measure, and my blessings far exceed anything I will ever go through or ever have to tolerate in this life. And I believe that, and I know that. I have all kinds of things wrong with my body that hurt. But all the stuff that, like, could kill you, I'm good. I mean, I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. I don't have high sugar. I'm good. I go in, and they look at me as sad as I am, and they go, wow. Because, I mean, everything's good, and it's normal. But if it hurts, I've got it. And I wake up every day, and I'm in so much pain that it's hard to get up some days.
Amen.
And I'm not complaining. I still thank God for every day. Yes. The doctors told me over 20 years ago I'd be in a wheelchair. I'm still walking. Yes. I don't walk like I used to, but I'm still walking. Yes. And the whole point of me telling this is I came in this morning and I was in so much pain. And I sat down on the front pew, and you all started singing. I said, thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for my healing.
Yes.
And then Karen grabbed me, put her hands right here. And can I tell you, my knees aren't hurting one bit right now. So I set my cane down here in reverence to what God has done for me.
Yes.
Amen. God, thank you, Lord. Because he's good.
Yes,
he is. Because he's good. Yes, he is. And he's faithful. And he knows what he's doing. Amen. So I just wanted to thank you for that, because if you live in pain all the time and you've got a moment without it, it sure feels good.
Yes, it does.
Amen. And I'm feeling good right now. And if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I just want to tell you, I've got notes up here, but I just want to do what God tells me. I always do that. I set it out, but then whatever he says, that's what I'm doing. That's it. But Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start at verse, did I say 19, gentlemen, or what did I say? 21? Okay, thanks for keeping me straight. Matthew 16 and 21, and it says this. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And he, being Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yep.
Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Verse 24 is where we're going to end. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Yeah.
You can be seated. I want to go back a few verses before that. And Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah, some say a prophet. And then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, who? Blessed art thou. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he didn't stop there. And he said, And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And I like this. He said, I know you. Yeah. Remember that song from years back? He knows my name.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen. He knows you. Yeah. So you put your name there. I know Jeff. Uh-huh. I know Shane. And then God knows everything about us. So he said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Peter, I know everything about you, every weakness, the time you're going to deny me. I can tell you what's going to happen, but thou art Peter. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't stop there, and upon this rock I will build my church. He's not building it on Peter. He's building it on the knowledge that God gave Peter that Jesus was the Son of God.
Yes.
And upon this rock I'll build my church. He didn't stop there, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Nothing is ever going to conquer the blood of Jesus Christ and what he is doing at that time and what he did and what he's doing today. Nothing will do that. And he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys? Think about it. Oh, I love this. It's faith in Jesus. I want to read this to you. The keys of the kingdom. Think about Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Ha ha. Woo! Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the infirmities of feeling, but was in all points tempted like as we yet without sin.
Right.
Or come boldly unto the grace, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So he's saying, I'm not only going to give you the knowledge that I am the Son of God, but I'm going to give you the keys, because when I go and I take the blood sacrifice to the Father, and I'm going to open up the portals of heaven, and you'll be able to come boldly before the throne of God and make your request to him. And then stop there, whatever you find on earth, it's going to be found in heaven. And whatsoever you lose on earth, it shall be loose in heaven.
Amen.
Woo!
Come on.
Peter is feeling mighty good at this time. And that's how we are. Lord, it feels good when you show us something. God, it feels good when you speak to us. Lord, it feels good to be in your spirit and to have something revealed. God, it's good. Verse 20, he charged disciples that they should tell no man what they'd seen. And that Jesus would be the Christ, that he would go to them. You're like, well, because the time hadn't come yet. There was a time and a purpose. He's like, the time hadn't come yet for us to reveal this. And then this is where we start again. And from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples that how he must go to Jerusalem. Now, Peter's already been told he has the keys. But you know what Peter doesn't have at this time? The Holy Ghost.
Right.
And you try to do anything on your own, and no matter how good you are, guess what? You will eventually mess it up. Because it takes the Spirit to get us where we need to be. Proverbs 16:25 says this: there's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Peter thought Jesus was the Son of God, and he was going to come and take over the earth right then and there as he knew it. But can I tell you, what we need and what we want are two different things. And God doesn't come and say, I will give you what you want. He said, I will give you what you need. Matthew 6:33 says this: but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So Peter was listening to this, and he was thinking within himself, I've given up all things to follow you. I've seen you heal, I've seen you deliver, and now you are telling me they're going to mistreat you and abuse you and crucify you, and you are going to have to die. That is not the king that I was looking for. That's what he wanted. It wasn't what he needed. Jesus wasn't there to do it for one generation. He came that he could free us all.
Yeah.
He said, when I'm going to do something, I'm not going to do it for a moment or temporal. This is going to be eternal. I'm going to shake heaven, earth, and hell.
Yeah.
Heaven is going to change. There's going to be a new covenant. It won't be like it has been. But Peter was looking for what he wanted. Church, I'm here today to tell you the devil is trying to get us blindsided to where we see things a certain way and we're looking for what we want. He is not coming back the way we want. He's coming back the way that is needed. Peter said, oh. And he turned, and Peter rebuked him, saying, be it far from thee. take over. You're not here to die. You're here to take over. I'm just reminding you because you know I'm following you and everything. But this is what we're looking for. And don't we feel like we do that to Jesus sometimes, to God? Have you ever prayed for something and God said no and it hurts so bad? Yeah. Me too. Not too long ago, I was praying for my brother. He went in and he was supposed to have surgery on hernia. When they found out he didn't have hernia, they said, he has cancer in his kidneys, and the tumor was so big it was about 44 pounds. And he was pressing all of his major organs. They said, you're not strong enough to have the surgery that we need you to have, but we will do a partial. So I told my work, I've got to go. I've got to go up to the hospital and see my brother before I have surgery. I need to pray with him. They said, do you need to go today? I'm like, yep, I need to go today. Surgery's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I need to go today. But don't you want to be there for surgery? Nope, that's too late. I need to be there today. Right. Mm-hmm. And I went and I prayed with him. And he called me 2 weeks beforehand. The funniest thing, because you have to know my brother, he was a country boy. And when I say hick, I mean, he made hicks look like city slickers. He was a hick. He said, hurry. I said, yeah. He said, I called to tell you I love you. Just like, I love you. I love you too. He said, no, you don't understand. I've been talking to God. And I didn't get all religious or anything. He said, but I've been talking to God. And I told him a long time ago, if he'd kill me, he had some things wrong with his back and stuff. He said, I told the Lord if he'd kill me, I would serve him. And you know what? I never served him.
Jesus.
He said, I prayed again and I asked him to take the pain away. He took the pain away and he reminded me what I said. I said, that's a good thing. That's a pretty sovereign God. He said, well, I told you I didn't get all religious or nothing. But I did tell him I'd be a better person, so I thought I'd start with you and tell you I love you. So I love you too. So I go up, and he's in the hospital. And I talked to him. I said, now, you promised me you'd get right with God. He said, I'm not going to pray right now, but I have been praying, and I'll tell you, I will pray before I go in surgery. I promise. I'll pray before I go in. I said, okay, I'm going to hold you to that, because one day I'm going to go to heaven, and buddy, you better be there.
Right.
You better be there, because you promised me. So he goes into surgery. In all honesty, he never came out. They kept him alive on a ventilator on a machine for 14 days, telling us, oh, we think that he'll come to. And so we were praying for this miracle, like, oh, we see a sign, or oh, he moved his eyes. He was gone. His daughter told me, said, talk to Dad before he went in to surgery. And he looked at me and he said, I want you to know, if I die, I've had a good life, and I made it right with God.
Amen.
I prayed for the longest time because I wanted to serve God with my brother.
Yeah.
Lord, it's a mighty short time. I haven't got to spend. He was my little brother. I haven't got to spend that much time with him. And then I told God, I'm a little mad at you right now. But I have to tell you, thank you. Because
yeah.
I'd rather have him in eternity and see him there than to have him live 10 more years and him go to hell.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I'm counting my blessings, God. I'm thankful for the time that I had. So every time I wanted to complain, every time I wanted to say, God, it's just not right, I'd say, thank you, God, for what you did do. Thank you, God, for the time I did have. Thank you, God, that your promises are true. Thank you, God, that in spite of the life he lived and that he knew better, you still gave him another chance to pray. You still gave him another chance to repent. God, thank you that you were able to do that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because that is not the road I wanted. But it's the road I'm taking, and I'll take it with joy.
Yeah.
It's just like God is faithful. God is good. He's true. He's loving His kind. And He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Peter didn't want to walk the road that he was seeing coming. He's like, you don't understand. I trusted you to take over.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it. We feel that way right now. I don't know if you do in your spirit, but I feel it in so many hearts today in this church. Let me feel like, God, this is not where I thought I'd be. This is not how I felt I would feel. God, I don't understand why I'm right here right now. But can I tell you something? God will never leave you where the grace of God can't keep you.
Amen.
He will never, ever let you go through something and walk alone. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you. He will make you a blessing, and the Spirit will rise up and do it in you what needs to be done.
Amen.
An oyster that never has any heartache, any grains of sand that irritates it, never produces a pearl. We can't say we trust in God if we've never had a trial for Him to bring us through. We can't truly say, I know what it is to serve God in the good times and the bad times, to have Him worthy even when I didn't feel like it. Whew. But when you do, and you make it through to the other side, and you see that He never left you, He never forsook you.
Right.
He was there all the time in might and love and kindness, and He used you in spite of your heartache to minister to someone else.
Right.
Come on. Oh my God, you're amazing. I don't know how you do this stuff, but you do.
Right.
You do this. So I want to get back in here. And Peter said, No, it's not going to be that way. Now, I want you to know something. I've had God tell me He's disappointed in me. Maybe you've never had that. But I have. I decided to throw a pity party once, and I told this once here before. That means it's the only church I ever told it in. But I was complaining to God a little bit, and God said, straighten up. And I'm like, it's not fair. Everybody else gets to play. Can't you just listen for half an hour? My gosh. Maybe you've never been like that. I have. He's like, you know better. To know to do good and do it not is sin. Woo!
Yeah.
Man, He uses the word on me. What you going to do with that?
Eat it.
That's right. You're going to listen if you want to be right with God.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, God, I don't understand. I don't know why other people can complain all day long, bring people down, and I'm just trying to complain to you just a little bit. Can't you have some sympathy? And He's like, you already know the answer. You've come to me. Don't complain. Get the answer. Get what you need. Get deliverance. Get it over.
Come on.
Give it to me. Like, cast it at my feet. Don't complain about it. Don't grumble about it. That's not fixing it. But when you say, Jesus, deliver me.
Come on.
God, take care of me. Give me wisdom to handle it correctly.
Yeah.
God, I don't want to be where I'm at. Then guess what? Victory will come.
Yes. Absolutely.
What I wanted was the one I needed. What I wanted was what I needed. A need, it's essential, it's a requirement. A want is just your desire, it's being need. You ever seen a needy person who just takes and takes and takes? Once you know something, God knows the difference.
Amen.
You don't have to point it out to Him. He knows.
Right.
I don't want to be a needy person. I don't want to be someone who throngs Jesus. I want to be someone who touches Him.
Right.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Amen. So I want to get on with this. And it says this. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. According to His riches and glory. You do not have a need that God don't already know about.
Right.
That He doesn't have an answer to. I'm not sure why you feel the way you feel right now, but I can feel it in my spirit. Like there are people, you are struggling and the battle's real. And you're just like, oh my gosh, help me, Jesus. I feel stuck right here and it doesn't feel good. And God said, don't, hold on. Victory's coming. Victory is coming.
Right.
Victory is coming. It's not coming the way you were looking for it, but if you quit trying to have your way.
Come on. Help me, Jesus.
When you quit trying to see it your way. And whenever you say, God, I surrender to your will. I surrender to your love. I surrender to your patience. I surrender to whatever it is that you want. Mm-hmm. He will supply you need.
Yeah.
You did that Psalms 23 song? Oh, I love that. I never heard that before. I loved every one of them I heard today. They were so good. My praise was going on like you wouldn't believe down there. Even when I was singing all the time, my heart was just like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. I love to worship God. And I love to feel this presence. And you can feel it so strong. Oh, God, you're amazing. It feels so good to be here. This isn't even what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to be better now. That's pretty good. I really enjoy it. And I was thanking God for the talent in this church, for every one of you. And I was thanking him that he were using it for God. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I love it. And sometimes you just need to give people a little bit of praise. Yeah. And you deserve that. You were leading us and you were shaking. You didn't lead us by hearing us sing a pretty song. You worshiped him. You worshiped. You showed what it was about and you helped bring us into the throne.
Yes.
And that takes spirit and dedication. Not just a pretty voice. And being able to play a tune.
Right.
So thank you. Yep. You keep on for God. Who chains will be broken. Have a vision.
Amen.
Have a vision. I mean, seriously, people are going to come in. And I believe they already have. Mm-hmm. I believe they already have, but it's still going to continue. If you continue to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, not my will, but yours be done. I want the Spirit to move in our church. I want you to anoint every keystroke. I want you to anoint every note. I want you to anoint every testimony. I want you to anoint every claim clap. I want you to anoint every offering. I want you to anoint everybody who breathes in this earth, who comes in and offers worship to you. God, I want you to start something as soon as we enter the sanctuary so the lost will be condemned when they enter the door. God, I want to see you around to the altar before a song is sung and a prayer is prayed. Because the anointing breaks the yoke.
Amen.
So how are they come? Said the Spirit bends in.
Yeah.
Whew. I always see people healed sitting in your pew just like me.
Amen.
Feels good. But we have not because we ask God. You got to have a vision. You got to want it. In the Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll be content. Whatever state I'm in, I am going to be content. Paul says, whether I'm abased or whether I abound, whether I have much or whether I do not, I am going to thank God for what I have. When I feel like shouting and when I don't, I thank God that I arose in the morning. I thank God I have an opportunity to be in the house.
Right.
I thank him that I have an opportunity to read his word. I thank him that I don't walk by what I see, but I walk by faith, and I know that he's with me always.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Whew. So then, not only this, but in Matthew, we have to really watch, because I'm telling you, if we are not careful, we will not seek the kingdom of God first in his righteousness. And that's what this whole scripture is about. Seek God first in his righteousness. Because Peter was seeing it his way. And you have to seek God first in his righteousness. In Matthew 6, 9 through 13, you know the Lord's Prayer. And it says, our Father which art in heaven. First of all, it's personal, our Father.
Yeah.
And not only are you personal, but you are in heaven. You are the maker and the ruler of the universe. There was nothing and you spoke and it was so. Woo! You're amazing. God, you do all these wonderful things. Then it said, hallowed be thy name. So then, of course, it's personal. And then you have to thank him. No matter how you feel, thinking. Because he's worthy of praise. Because no matter how we feel, no matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances, God is still God.
Yes.
Amen.
And he deserves our praise.
Yeah.
And then it didn't stop there. This is the verse I really wanted. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, I'll mess it up every time. But your will be done. So God, I want it done in my life, in my family. I want it done in my church, in my community. I want it done in the body, in the city. Every program we have in our church, God, I want your will first.
Yeah.
And Pastor, I'm going to throw this in, and it can be thrown out, okay? Because this is my personal opinion, and I can tell you they don't count for much. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not willing to do the work, please don't condemn the people who are doing it.
Right.
If you're not even willing to try, do not tell the other people they're not doing it right, because you're only seeing a small percentage of what goes on, and they have to deal with it face-to-face every time they go out and do the ministry. So please, if you don't have something good to say, keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
And you can throw that out if you want to. But I am tired of people who tear stuff down and don't even try to help. We have enough opposition fighting that we don't need it in the house.
Amen.
The Bible says we should encourage one another and strengthen one another.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to that. All right. And he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. God, you know what we have need of. I don't even know what the day's going to hold, but you know before I do.
Right.
Can I tell you, God will get you. Oh, yes, he will. He talked to me for 2 weeks about keeping my mouth shut. 2 weeks. So I made sure when I went to work, I put my filter on. My filter was on. I go to work. It's been 2 weeks. I've been praying every day. I've been wearing my filter. And I'm thinking, oh, thank you, Jesus. I've been wearing my filter. I've been doing good. I haven't said anything negative. I haven't said anything to get back and hurt me. And then, don't you know, I'm standing there. I just get back from lunch, and my filter wasn't in check. And Nancy comes running over. And she said, there's a customer in the lobby of the office taking care of Brandon. And you just walked in, so you need to do it. And I said, I have an appointment, Stephen. I said, but the customer doesn't always show up on time. So I may have time to get guess who's right behind me? My customer. I said, God, you warned me for 2 weeks. And I go to lunch and I come back and I fell instantly. What's wrong with that? Can't you control me for a moment? I was like, that's not my job. I told you what to do. I've been getting you ready for 2 weeks, and that's just not compared to what you need to do. Get it together, girl. Filter check. And they said, oh, she might not have heard. I said, she heard me. They said, did you say anything? I said, no, I kept my mouth shut. If you said anything else, it's going to get worse. I just waited on and then waited on the next customer. And you have to just, it was the truth, so I didn't want to say anything, but man, I thought, she was, I just should have said, well, let me see if my customer comes in. But did I know? No, I didn't. So the small things that you say, you can't take back. And they hurt. So the Lord knows what we have need of. So give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then it said, forgive us our debtors, we forgive our debtors. You have to forgive. You have to forgive. Remember the parable where Jesus talked about the man that owed so much. And I looked it up, and it was like 120 years worth of work. You don't have 120 years to pay this debt. He owed this debt, and he was forgiven. And the same man that was forgiven went out, and someone owed him a debt. And it was like a year's worth of work. And he threw him in prison. And the parable goes like this. Then the good man, when he forgiven the other, said, "Why can you forgive me? I forgive you this great debt." But you threw him in prison. So guess where you're going? You're going in prison. And the extreme amount of the amount owed is to show us we have got been given mercy from God. We will never ever earn the salvation that we have. We will never ever be able, no matter if we live the rest of our lives and do almost everything right, we will never be able to earn the grace that was bestowed upon us, because while we were yet sinners,
right,
Christ died for us.
Amen.
We didn't have to do anything to get there. So he's saying, can't you forgive the small things among each other?
Right.
Can't you just forgive that? Because what I forgive is so much greater.
Right.
And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What leads you? The Bible says the Spirit. So now he's talking about Spirit. I said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Spirit will never lead you if God doesn't want you.
Amen.
So now he's saying, not only forgive me, and not only help me understand that I want your will to be done, now let your Spirit come in me and lead me to the place I need to be. Help me, Jesus. Who? And deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, church, we can't be conformed to the world. But the Bible says that ye must be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
How do you renew your mind? You read. You pray, you fast, you come to church, you worship. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. So you have to treasure God above all things. So what do you have to do? You have to tend to the Spirit first. The Bible said he already knows what you have need of. So if you want to truly walk in deliverance, you have to tend to the Spirit. You have to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, hallelujah. And then I want to end with this, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good. Not everything that happens to me is good. But you know what? I'm assured of it'll work for my good.
Right.
Amen.
Don't know how God will do it, but he'll do it. And he will do it every time. Because he's faithful. And church, you need to say, God, I don't need my will. I don't need it the way I think it should be. I need it the way you have ordained it. I need the Spirit to lead me, guide me, direct me. I need the Spirit because the Bible says it's a comfort, it's a guide, it's an intercessor. It gives me power to be witness. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
God, I am tired of trying to walk it my way. I get it messed up. I get anxiety. I cause heartache and hardships on myself. So instead of doing this and causing this, how about I just say, thy will be done. God, show me what you want. Peter rebuked Jesus here. But Peter was the one when the day of Pentecost came, who stood up boldly and said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. Seeing it's but the third hour of the day. This was that was prophesied by the prophet John. The Holy Ghost, the comforter, the guide, the one that equips us for service. Now, Peter was different than he was before. Because before, Peter walked with a changed heart. But now he walked with a spiritual heart. The Spirit was leading him. It made a difference on how he did it, how he ministered, what he said, what he did, and how he believed. And he was no longer timid. He was bold.
Right.
Amen.
So, church, there's new days coming. And there's going to be things happen that we don't understand. And it will not be the way we like it or want it. And we may be like, what? But trust God.
Yeah.
That was the whole point at the very top of the story. He said, who do men say that I am? Okay, that's fine, but who do you say that I am? Thou art Christ.
Yeah.
He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against this knowledge.
Amen.
I am your Christ. No matter what comes along, let the Spirit guide you. Let Him lead you. Let Him get you where you need to be. Because, church, we have come to be victorious. I don't want to struggle my whole life. I want to praise the Lord. I can tell you I'm not there yet. But I mean, think about it. Paul and Silas were beaten. I'm sorry if you beat me right now. You're like, oh man, I can't get up. You know? I'm just being honest. But they began to praise the Lord. And revival broke out in the prison. They could have been like, oh my goodness, all we did was good. All we did was speak truth. I don't know why I'm here. See, but no, they said, God, thank you that we were counted worthy to take stripes for you. It wasn't because we did anything wrong, but because you were good. And I'll never be sorry for doing what's right, for sharing the gospel, for standing up, for telling people you are truly good, for giving me time that you make a difference, and tell them sin is still sin, and it won't make it into heaven. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that can purchase from it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Revival broke out in the prison. So we can complain about where we're at, or we can start a revival. It is your time right now. You can complain or you can start a revival. It is your choice. Why don't you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Because He's brought you to victory. He has brought you to victory. And that's what He wants to do. Amen. But I do want to give you a chance if you are lost today and don't know Jesus. The best choice I ever made was to get saved. I cannot express to you how He rescued my life. You're like, well, He saved me when I was 8 years old, but I'm going to tell you, if it wasn't for Dad and Jesus, my life would have been bad. But because of Dad and Jesus, I've got happy memories. I was raised in church, and I had church shame. Whenever I was still in that earlier today, I was like, oh, this is like my youth. I remember the spirit of my youth. And this is what, why do we lay it down? We need that healing. Jesus wants to make a difference in your life. If you don't know Him, know that He loves you. Know that He cares. Know that He wants to be your Savior. And I'm going to give you a moment. If everybody that can stand, can stand. And if you can't, I understand. I've been there.